The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
This week, AIM-listed prop tech company Rent Guarantor released a striking trading update showing 155% revenue growth, a record circa £700,000 in revenue in the month of May, and the company's first positive monthly EBITDA since joining AIM some 10 months ago. Joining me to discuss these numbers is their founder and CEO, Paul Foy. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Martin, for having me. Much appreciated.
Well, first of all, congratulations for a bumper month. You must be over the moon with that. And it does look like a major inflection point. Revenue around £700,000 in 1 month versus an average of, what, 325 a month in the prior 4 months. What specifically changed in May? Was it just the Renters' Rights Act? Was it partner demand, sales execution, or a one-off spike? You know, talk us through what happened.
Well, indeed, it's all of those things and probably more. I like to describe it as the perfect storm. And we've just arrived at this lovely inflection point where the legislation changes for the first time in 50 years. That gives us a fantastic tailwind. We've been building, ahead of steam for this day. So over the last 2 years, since it became very clear, or even a little bit earlier, in the Conservative era, this bill was always mooted. The Labour government brought it out, got royal assent in October, if I'm correct. And then it got brought into law on the 1st of May. And I think a lot of landlords have found themselves in a position where their risk profile is definitely changing, because of the bill. So we've got that. We've obviously got technologies which are here today that weren't around 5-10 years ago. So when we build out our technology platform, it's always about being able to move at pace and be very nimble and very quick. So when you put everything together, along with the adoption of what we do in the market over the last 4 or 5 years, you get that perfect storm. So I think, the timing of what's happened coincides with the bill. But dare I say it, I think this is the new norm.
So how confident are you then that May is actually the new baseline rather than just an exceptional month?
I think it's fair to say that the shortage of homes, for example, is a great place to start. Successive governments haven't been keeping the pace with the build. We've had a lot of people come and live in the UK. The actual bill itself, which came into law on the 1st of May, is going to stabilise the renter in the UK. So therefore, you're going to have that classic another storm where the supply and demand are not going to be met. So, the baseline looks like that, at least for the foreseeable future, probably as many as 5 to 10 years until housing bills catch up, it's probably going to be the new norm. Patterns will emerge and we'll be able to read it better, maybe over the next quarter, 6 months, 12 months. That's short term, but certainly medium term, 3 to 5 years, it's here to stay for sure.
Now, you reported 155% revenue growth the first 5 months and 127% growth in contracts executed. Now, for investors, the key question is quality of that growth. Are you seeing better unit economics, or is growth still being brought through higher marketing and partnering costs?
Well, our marketing, while it's robust, I would say what we're seeing is adoption by the market. So in the past, individuals were coming to us through the likes of PPC. We now are signing up a major state agents every day on the high street. And certainly through London, there's major adoption here. So it's tending towards a slightly higher unit price throughout the southern part of England and certainly London. So last year, for example, we had an average contract price, around £760. We see that rising now to £960, £980, giving us that, nice rise per contract. Again, that will settle down. But right now, that's what we're seeing. That's the experience.
Now, in May, you delivered the first positive monthly EBITDA since you came to AIM, as I said earlier. And that's an important milestone for any company. But can you help us understand how close the group is to sustained profitability rather than just a single positive month?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the way we see trends and the way we read our data, we are pretty certain that the predictive model that we have developed over the last 5 to 7 years is certainly predicting that the future for us is very bright in this area. I'm confident that we will be able to sustain the growth, and I think we now see a leveling out of our costs. So I think it naturally follows that, you know, we should see EBITDA increase and improve always from here on out.
You touched on earlier, you're saying the average contract value has risen, and I think in the release you said it was up by sort of circa 12% to £855. Now, as you move up the rental value scale, does that also mean higher risk exposure per contract? And how are you managing underwriting, your underwriting discipline, I suppose, as a business scales so quickly?
Yeah, that's a very fair question. In fact, it's one of the pillars of the business, and we have four pillars, but clearly managing risk, underwriting, making sure we've got the insurance protocols in place. And let's be honest, if we're taking care of landlords and tenants, our obligation to the company begins at home. So we like to see that we've got good policies and procedures, we've got good reporting protocols, we have individuals within the company who take care of this on a daily basis, and then we've reporting methodology to keep sure make sure that we still stay within the bands of tolerance that we set many years ago. It's very easy to build this model if you look at it on the surface, but when you go underneath, it takes many years to get this data to such a level that it's perfected, where you can see what your tolerance levels are for risk and risk management. So we like to see that to be the very core of what we do, to make sure that, you know, there's no guardrails that aren't there, and generally the business gets very well protected as a result.
Well, that's something I actually want to sort of dig into a little bit more, if you don't mind, because, you know, this enhanced service, you know, you combined rent guarantee with property damage cover up to, I believe, 2 months of rent. Now, that sounds attractive commercially, but what are the risk controls? How do you avoid this becoming a sort of claims heavy product if the landlord adoption accelerates, as I'm sure it will do?
Yeah, and just to follow on from the last question and the answer that I gave, again, the protocols are very important. So being a licensed entity by one of the three government schemes, that's the first thing we've achieved. So therefore, if there's disputes or arguments over what is an arrear and what isn't an arrear, or what is a claim for any damage, that will always go through the dispute resolution board with my deposits. So we have independent verification and arbitration around those disputes. To be honest, most tenants are very good and genuine people. And the work that we've done on onboarding our clients over the years has left us with a client base that we would see as a very valued client base. They're rich in terms of performance for us as a guarantor, and we don't see any reason why that risk should increase when it comes to the element of the damages in the property. So, you know, clearly, again, there is a risk. So what we've done is we've insured that risk. So we've taken every procedure that we can, analyzed it, and made sure that we've put in place the guardrails that protect both landlord, tenant, and indeed our own company.
Now, looking at the business, one of the clear moats you have around the business is your AI and the amount of investment you put into it. And I see you're accelerating that investment in the AI and targeting capacity from of around 20,000 contracts annually, raising to 100,000 over the medium to long term. What does AI actually change in the business, though? Is it the speed, the underwriting accuracy, fraud detection, as we're just touching on there, or is it
Yeah.
cost per contract, you know? And how will investors be able to measure your success?
Well, AI, I think, in the modern era for us changes everything because when we started this business some years back, which is now nearly 10 years ago, you know, everything was very much manual. And then we went to a semi-automated model where we have algorithms and people. And now we're moving into an era where everything, including the onboarding of the client, right down to arrears handling, will all be done by machine learning in the future. And we go through the passage of time, and we have the adoption by the market to the principles of what we're setting out as the best in market model. And we will find that over the next 12, 24 months, that scalability is not a major issue once we know that we have the proper protocols working to the way and the standard that we desire. We like to think that, you know, if we can do 20,000 contracts, you can do 200,000 contracts. But what we don't want to do is do 200,000 contracts and experience issues. So walking this very slowly up to make sure that we get the numbers correct for everybody and that it becomes a model of best practice seen by the industry. And I think that it's here to stay. It's something that we have to adopt to. And we've decided that that's the way that we're going to go. So we're investing in it with immediate effect. We've already done a few years' work.